was a little kid, I was a gearhead, and I worked on anything that burned fuel. It's really, really nice to build something that runs on its own. All I gotta do is add fuel and oxygen, and it's a self-sustaining thing.
Welcome to ProCo 360, the show that features entrepreneurs who could be successful anywhere and choose Colorado. I'm your host, Dave Tabor. My guests know that whether it's having a meeting over a beer after a bike ride or the special collaboration that goes on here, business in Colorado is special. Past shows, my Audible book list, and subscriber info are available at ProCo360.com. Again, that's ProCo360.com. In this issue, I'll be speaking with John Fisher, CEO of Sticker Giant, a Colorado company thriving in the fun and maybe little known and highly intriguing niche of manufacturing custom stickers. We're going to talk about using open book management, process control, great service, and high energy to dominate one's market. John, I look forward to the conversation. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for inviting me, Dave. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it will be great. First, I want to thank our show sponsors, MicroStar Keg Logistics. These guys are entrepreneurs for beer entrepreneurs. MicroStar helps craft brewers expand by handling the logistics of keg distribution. Also, Community Banks of Colorado. They go big for small business, and they've been committed to this show since it started, demonstrating their love for Colorado entrepreneurs. Okay, John Fisher, Sticker Giant, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's talk. I mean, this whole notion, you walk anywhere in the city, anywhere, and there's stickers everywhere. And you've built a business about it. I actually was going to think about making some kind of a correlation between how people mark territory and maybe animals, but people using stickers, right? But you have developed a fantastic brand. Tell us about Sticker Giant.
Well, Sticker Giant's right here in Colorado. We started it up in my basement 17 years ago. It's been a fun business all along, and today we are a printing company. We print, in fact, more than half of our business is product labels and then promotional stickers. Mm. And so when you go into the grocery store and you look on the shelves, lots and lots of things have labels on them. We make those.
Yeah, when when I think about stickers, I think of all the fun, interesting shapes. In fact, I'll tell our audience, John was very kind, and he brought me a bunch of ProCo 360 Live, Work, Love Colorado stickers. They look great. And yeah. I look forward to maybe putting them on your car.
That's right.
It seems to me that you are essentially giving the competition the stiff arm. I mean, you're the fastest. You got free artwork, free custom shapes, quality materials and colors, great service. What is your philosophy on competing in a market like this?
It's a really big marketplace, Dave. It's a $13 billion industry. It's the tag and label segment is really what it's called. And Sticker Giant is on the internet. We have no actual salespeople that go out and call on customers yet. And we attract customers by providing great service. Our whole mantra is fast. Everything's fast. Our internet's fast. Our website's fast. You'll get your proof fast. Delivery will be fast, et cetera. And so that's a number one component of our business, and great service, great quality. All those things have led us to grow about 20% a year, every year, the last 6 years.
Well, that's interesting because your website, and the website's great, stickergiant.com. Uh-huh. It's a great, fun website, and that whole 24-hour fast, order today, they get shipped tomorrow kind of a thing, right? Uh-huh. But it seems like you're not just about guys like me who want to print 1,000 or 5,000 stickers. You also have like industrial clients, right? Do they care about that same kind of speed?
Absolutely. Just-in-time delivery and not having to order a lot of product ahead of time and stock it on your shelves is really important to all different kinds of businesses. And generally in the United States today, business goes fast. Everything's fast. Even big corporations make decisions and want to implement quickly. So we're there for the mom who wants to sell her salsa at the Boy Scout fundraiser, and we're going to make 250 stickers for the bottles of salsa, and we're there for other great Colorado companies and artists like, Phil Lewis. You'll see him in festivals all over Colorado selling his art, and he'll be selling our stickers that he prints with us as well. And so we take care of a whole wide range of customers.
That's cool. And I've been to your shop. Mm-hmm. I've seen, we may talk about the world's giant, largest sticker ball in a little bit, but I've been there, and it's sort of this whole fun environment, right? And in order to create that, do you have to hire the right kind, a certain kind of people that blend into that? And how do you keep a fun environment like that?
One of the best ways I have found keeping a work environment fun and keeping employees engaged is to involve them in the process of running the business. We're an open book management company, and we share all of our key performance indicators every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. for the previous week, and we have plans. We know what we're doing, and employees, just by being at Sticker Giant and being in those all-company huddles, they learn how the business works. They learn how to run a business themselves. And just that alone, and getting them to participate in a bonus program tied to open book finance, they feel more engaged. They feel like the company is partially theirs.
You know, that's and by the way, if you just joined the show, maybe someone was listening and you jumped on. I'm your host. This is Dave Tabor on ProCo 360, and I'm interviewing John Fisher, CEO of Sticker Giant. And this notion of open book management, I want to talk about pretty extensively in a minute. Mm-hmm. The idea that that you're so process oriented, you have to be in order to be fast. You must be process oriented, right?
Yes.
And so my question is, for people who want to have fun, how do they have fun and still be in this process, which must deliver fast all the time with high quality?
People can enjoy their jobs and be organized and get a lot done all at the same time. If you have an environment where people are free to communicate and your egos are removed and everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing, it's a lot of fun to get a lot done during the day together.
And it's a lot of fun to get a lot done. Is this like a mantra?
No, I just made it up myself. But, you know, and the other thing is, we all love to watch football on Sunday. Well, some of us, a lot of us do. And teams that have fun together, whether it be on the football field or in the business arena, are going to have better results, right? If you have discord in any kind of professional athletic endeavor within a team, you're not going to get as good of results. And the same goes for business. Your business team, your team of employees and management team need to get along, as well as any well-functioning sports team.
Do you think getting along leads to the ability to deliver fast?
Absolutely.
What about as I think about it, the ability to communicate easily?
That's right.
Is probably a key piece of that, right?
Absolutely. And having the structure and the mechanisms within a company to communicate what you need, when you need it, and to get the results back that you want.
Because so often, you know, you look at the companies that are all about fun now, and they've got a foosball table, they've got this or that, right? And the fun isn't about the work. It's about everything else except the work, right? You just took a deep breath. What are you thinking?
I've been in some of those companies, and the foosballs and the company barbecues don't generate 30% EBITDA. Okay, yeah, so generating really, really great EBITDA and growing the company, meeting goals, that's fun too.
Yeah.
And then let's celebrate by having a barbecue, all right?
Yeah.
But if we're not generating our profits and our goals, we need to be working and not barbecuing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's a pretty direct comment, right? And
yeah. And
I think in today's environment where everybody's really having trouble getting quality talent and enough talent,
that's right.
That's not a very popular thing to say. Let's hit our goals and then have a barbecue. Right? I mean, it's not.
You're right.
People are afraid to say that because they don't right? I mean, what's your take?
I have friends that have worked in the startup community, and they've now are on their seventh or eighth startup with promises of great riches. And boy, would they have loved to have spent that time at Sticker Giant, earning bonuses, becoming part of a team that's growing, and a brand that's increasingly recognized as one of the leaders in Colorado business.
Yeah.
So there's something to understanding that great things might take a while, or it takes a long time to make something truly great.
Yeah.
Right. So,
but that is a challenge now. We're hearing authors talk about how, you know, people are being conditioned for quicker and quicker achievement, and it doesn't always come that quick.
That's right. And one of my definitions of professionalism is sticking with something long after the glamour has worn off, right? Mm-hmm. You stick at it, you keep making it better every day, and eventually you're going to have something really, really special. And that's what we've done at Sticker Giant.
So talk about how you weave open book management into this concept.
Well, it really kind of started, Dave, is I don't have a business background. I went to art school, I had businesses growing up. I had the lemonade stand and the bagel cart in college and this and that. But
there have been books written about that, right?
Yeah.
About running a lemonade stand like a big business.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so at some point I was the kind of boss that would come in every day and check in with each employee and sort of poke them in the direction I needed them to go. And you know, they had about as much insight into the direction that we were going as my steering wheel of my car does. Hmm. And so that was no longer effective. And I started to seek out mentors and talk to people in Colorado to find out what I should be doing. And I found open book management and started implementing it in my company. It took a long time to get it to work well. It's hard to do, but the results pay off.
So when you say open book management, that there are two ways to look at that. That's either the notion that you share your financials, or it's something of much greater depth. And you have the second, right? Describe what that means to you.
So for open book management, we share everything in the company that's on the P&L, besides what individual salaries are. That's a big misconception about open book management, is that you just share everybody's salaries, and that's not what we do. What we do is we share what the expectations of the investors are, just like you would do in a public corporation. Sticker Giant expects to have this revenue, this profit, during the quarter, and this is what we have to do every day to get there, and all of the key performance indicators that line up behind it get put up on a board. Individual employees own those lines, report on them every week, and rally the team around them.
Yeah, I was invited. Thank you for inviting me into one of your team meetings. You surprised me. I showed up and you said, come on, we're going to have this team meeting. I want you to participate. Well, watch.
Right.
And I did watch as I don't know, 8 or 10 or 12 people got up and reported on very specific numbers from their week, why they'd hit them, why they didn't. It's pretty. It's the only time I've seen that actually in years.
And what's a lot of fun is it's fantastic in the good times, meaning the employees share gain share bonuses tied to exceeding expected profits. But it also for the company when things are slower than expected, or there's hard times in the business. There's no cooler whispering. There's no wondering if there's going to be layoffs. There's none of that because it's all out there. It's bare. And if there's layoffs, the employees are going to know. They're going to understand. They're going to know everything about the whole process.
Yeah.
And so what we've done at Sticker Giant is by filling up lots of information, we've eliminated all the misinformation. We don't have gossip at Sticker Giant like a lot of companies do.
That's interesting. And you mentioned expectations, and Luke's got a clip from a book. It's actually, I use Audible a lot, and there's a book called Verbal Judo that I've been listening to. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Luke, can you play that clip? I want to get John's take.
When they were challenged to do something to show off their expertise, they gained confidence and were even motivated to expand, to learn something more. Their expectations of themselves had been raised. Beside that, I was also learning things about teaching I had never been taught in the classroom. Admittedly, much of it was theoretical and perhaps even esoteric, but it was eye-opening for me. I was learning that while there may be hundreds of ways to get something done, for instance, motivating a student, there was but one underlying principle: raise his or her expectations.
Does this notion of teaching about open book management, about business, does it raise expectations among your team members about what they can achieve themselves?
Absolutely. One of the biggest challenges, that question has two answers. But the first answer is absolutely one of the biggest challenges for founder entrepreneurs who are implementing this system in small companies is letting go of the levers and handing the levers of the business over. The first year or so of Open Book Finance at Sticker Giant, the employees complained that they had this game they were supposed to be engaging in, but they didn't have the levers in their hands. I was still making the calls. And so as you get confident in your team and you let go of the levers, it's sort of like when there's somebody in the passenger seat and you ask them to steer while you tie your shoe or get something out of the back seat, they're going to take it pretty seriously. All right.
Yeah.
And so that's what I challenge business owners who are starting out in open book finance to do is you have to start turning the levers over to the employees.
Because the expectation is you want us to perform to these numbers. Now, let us do it, right?
I mean,
look, open book management, I don't know when it became a thing, in the 80s, the 90s, I don't know, but it seems like it almost died, really, almost died, and yet you're doing it. Why do you think a lot of people who either think about it, don't do it, or try it, don't continue it?
Well, I would argue that a lot of components of open book management are prevalent in large publicly held companies. All large publicly held companies have financial projections and budgets that are extremely detailed, and they're passed down through extremely detailed org charts and responsibilities. And in a way, what large public corporations are doing is they're doing open book management. They're setting expectations. But it's just being implemented in a different way. I think what's unique about Sticker Giant, what you saw there, is that we are a 40-person, $12 million company that does five-year profit projections and EBITDA plans and very detailed budgeting and have an org chart and have expectations for every employee. And it's organized like a large public corporation. And since we are smaller, we get to put this flavor with all these meetings and this real-time data all together and run the company quickly.
You know? Well, you say quickly, and yet you meet weekly for an hour.
That's right.
So that's 4.3 hours a month, and however many more you multiply that times 12.
Times 40 people.
Yeah, right.
So that's actually a really funny thing, because early when I started this, other entrepreneurs would ask me, So do you pay your employees to come to these meetings?
Well, they're in the company. Of course you're paying them.
But they're not working when they're in the meeting. Well, right. Yes, they're working on the business, and they're not working in the business.
And see, maybe that's that gut sense that keeps people from wanting to do it, because they say they're not working. But in fact, you're really creating a distinction there. They are working.
They're working on the business. And then when they have their department meetings, they're working on the business. They're making... You know, in lean manufacturing, Kaizen, all of these things, it really stresses the importance of planning, groupthink, getting together, solving problems to a big level. And this is, you have to have these meetings. You have to have them structured in a way that are meaningful. And this is where we run the business, in these meetings.
Yeah. And I should say that after your big team meeting, you break out into smaller team meetings.
That's right. We have a set of stand-ups cascading out of the big meeting.
Yeah, but you insist on structure in those meetings, right?
Yeah, all the meetings are called level 10 meetings, and it's how we do meetings at Sticker Giant.
Yeah, so it's not people getting together to just talk. They have a very specific structure, and the leader of that meeting is responsible for adhering to it.
That's right. So we start with a segue, which is personal best, business best. And then we go to whether the individual's scorecard is on track or off track for the department or however the meetings run. Right away, is everything on track or off track? Anything that's off track gets clicked down to a whole nother list. And then we quickly do a update on big projects. They're called rocks at Sticker Giant. So are the rocks on track or off track? You don't answer off track, but you're either on track or off track. And then after that, you just shut up.
And you call them rocks. Is that because that story about putting the big rocks in before the small rocks in the sand?
That's right.
Yeah. Got it.
Okay. So then if there's a rock off track, it goes down to the list. That list is called IDS, identify, discuss, and solve. So what is the real problem? Okay. So, we're running out of water in the water cooler every week. What's the problem? Is the problem that we're drinking too much water, or is the problem that we need to order more water? So we identify the problem. We discuss it. Do we want to order more water, or are we exceeding our water budget? Yes, we have the water budget. Okay, we're going to order the water. Yeah. And then we've solved it. The solve is a to-do. Who's to-do? Okay. Eileen in our office, please up our order of water.
Yeah.
And so we just IDS something, and that's how we run our business. At the end of it, we recap our to-dos, repeat any cascading messages that have to go out to the rest of the company, and then rate the meeting 1 to 10.
Really?
And that's it.
And what happens if the meeting rated a 4? Do you end up solving for that right then?
Well, if the meeting rated a 4, you got to tell us why. And yeah, usually it's tangents, not sticking to the format, somebody not getting their to-dos done.
You're listening. Yes, got it. You're listening to ProCo 360. I'm your host, Dave Tabor, and I'm interviewing John Fisher, CEO of Sticker Giant. And I want to talk a little bit more about the open management, open book style of management. And some, I think, CEOs fear transparency, thinking that if employees know that they're profitable or how profitable they are, they're going to start bargaining like NFL players, maybe, you know? Or and how does transparency create challenges for you? Or does it?
I think the biggest challenge for small business owners, especially owner founders, is a lot of owner founder type entrepreneurs suffer from founder guilt, meaning how did I end up being the boss? All right. And so the biggest challenge in the transparency is the owner founders, the entrepreneurs giving up this notion that people care about this about profit and that sort of thing. People want to be treated fairly and be in a workplace where they can pursue happiness. That's all people care about. And so I've never, people need to get over that. They get over it, and it's actually an imagined problem. It's not a real
problem.
It's not a real problem. And then as far as the...
that's really imagined, the idea that if a founder is making X and another team member is making a lot less than X, that's imagined.
It
if you're transparent?
I think from yeah, it's an imagined problem. I've never encountered it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So most businesses that are well run, and especially if you're doing open book management or following EOS, you're going to have a methodology and structure behind compensation. And then you remove the negotiating part of it,
right,
which is, okay, everybody doing your job in companies this size in this region makes between this and this, and we're going to pay you on the high side. And there you go.
Yeah, got it. So as you scale growth, because you are growing, you said 20% a year, right?
Yes.
And as you scale, what do you think are the most important factors in scaling? I mean, it's, you have to bring in orders, right? And you don't yet have a sales team specifically, but you do have a really aggressive social media and web-based marketing tool, a team, don't you?
I think the most important aspect of our scaling is to have a clear vision that is communicated, all right, is realistic, okay, and that people can get enthusiastic about.
But you can't just scale based on vision. I mean, there has to
be
some... Oh, can you?
Sure you can.
Can you? I mean, if you say this year we're going to go 20% and so watch the orders come in. No, that's not how it works.
But the vision's where it starts. Without the vision of the team, okay, how are we going to get – here's the vision. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do $20 million in sales in three years. How are we going to get there? Mm-hmm. Well, the team, we figure out what those rocks are. Okay, we got to launch new products. We got to expand our hours. We have to buy new equipment. We have to create another sales channel like – outbound sales, or we have to manage our big accounts better and have an account team. So all of these things stem from that clear vision of here's where we're going. We've never missed our goals. We've always achieved our vision. So let's just sit down and figure out what the rocks are, how we're going to get them done, and move forward.
And you've got this what seemed like sort of a cave where you've got your online marketing guys doing some really tremendous work for you, don't you?
Oh, that's right, Dave. It's very secret. It's called the Command Center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to describe that?
It's a forward-facing room like you would encounter at NASA, and it's our JPL. And the idea is the whole marketing team is in there operating in real time, looking at real-time data, and running the business from a pure set of data, which is really what drives everything at Sticker Giant is data. So it's a lot of fun. It's really fun on tours, you know?
Yeah.
And it unites the marketing team around, this is a marketing-driven company.
Yeah, it is. It was pretty cool to see just how adept it appeared that your guys, the people, I saw two men in this command center, watching clicks and watching where things are coming from and watching how keywords were performing and all this stuff. I mean, that's what they do all day, every day to drive traffic, right?
That's right. That falls back to one of my rules of businesses, which is great businesses do things others know they should, but generally don't, which is we need to really, really pay attention to maintaining our customer acquisition goals. And this is how we've discovered we're going to do it.
Yeah. And most, virtually all of your traffic comes from online, mm-hmm. right? Or referral from customers that you gained right. online, right?
So yeah.
How much of your business is referral to completely new customers?
My guess is that 30% of our new customers on a given day heard about us from a friend or associate, a colleague, or an event that we sponsored.
You know, it doesn't surprise me because when I was visiting, I saw one of your team members working through a problem that a customer had caused themselves. Mm-hmm. They printed something. The design they sent was wrong. They'd been coached that it was wrong. They wanted it done anyway. And sure enough, it came out bad. Mm-hmm. And now your team member was working to make that customer satisfied, right? I mean, that has to generate a tremendous amount of repeat business.
Absolutely. We really are a little bit fanatic about putting our customers first. If we're going to live on the internet and bring our customers in through the internet, then we better have a pretty good reputation. And the internet is a pretty savage and unforgiving place if you have savage and unforgiving customer service. And so Sticker Giant goes out of its way to do the five steps when a customer's upset.
What are the five steps?
Whether it's their fault or our fault, it doesn't matter. The five steps.
Yeah.
The first one is to acknowledge that what they've experienced is something that is not pleasant, and to apologize. In the case of a customer that's really, really mad and yelling, then maybe you have to go back to acknowledge and apologize and acknowledge and apologize over until they calm down. Then you make it right. And the way you do that is you ask the customer, what can we do to make this right? Mm-hmm. And if they're not mad, they're going to tell you. Mm-hmm. And then you thank the customer. And we usually thank the customer with a gift box of some sort, a pint glass or some chocolates and a handwritten note from the rep. And then you document what happened so that we can report on it later to the team and figure out how to keep it from happening again.
Got it.
So that's the five steps right there. You follow those, you're going to turn one-star customers into five-star customers.
Wow. And that's, to me, that's impressive because I think most online businesses strive to have as minimal a contact with the customer as possible. And right? I mean, isn't that the whole idea of being a web-based efficient business is to just ship?
That's right. Well, we're really, really focused on those small to medium businesses, Dave. And small to medium businesses take their purchasing dollars very seriously. And so a large percentage of small to medium businesses are going to want to use a combination of the internet to check out a company and see if they're legit, or maybe use their online tools and their ordering process, or when things are difficult or confusing for them, which happens all the time in the packaging world, barcodes and ingredient lists and those kinds of things, they're going to want to talk to an artist or talk to a customer service rep. And so we're going to make all those channels that our small to medium business customers might want to engage with us on available, including chat, email,
and you let them
website,
call you, right?
Calling.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all that.
So you said that when you started with Open Book Management, you didn't quite have your arms around it. You've been at the entrepreneurial game for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
What mistakes have you made? Maybe a very specific mistake did you make that you learned from that you think is worthy of sharing that now maybe you're doing better, you're doing differently, and making your business better because of?
Mistakes. I would probably say that one of the biggest mistakes I've made over the years is holding on to responsibility myself too long and not delegating in order to elevate myself and to elevate the company. So delegate to elevate, which is the only way a CEO or the leadership of a company can elevate to a new level of being able to operate the business and think about the business is to delegate. If I'm doing the accounting myself, how am I going to actually set the vision and run the company?
How does your role differ today than it was 10 years ago, still as CEO? And both times you were CEO.
So I've always been CEO.
Right. So how's your job different now?
Oh my goodness. Very, very different. I've done, since we're now a printing company, I have not ever run any of the equipment. But before we were the printing company, I've done everything else. I've answered the phones. I've done the customer service. I've done the artwork. I've done the accounting. I've written, I've paid the bills. I've, handled of seeking out equipment and evaluating new equipment, talking to vendors, et cetera. So I've done all those parts, but now all those parts somebody else does. Mm-hmm. And so now I get to focus on the good part, which is focusing on the culture and the vision and making sure that all of our managers running our departments are supported and have the tools they need to achieve our vision.
So it sounds like you get to do all the fun stuff that business grads say they want to do coming right out of school. Right?
Yeah.
I want to be the product manager. I want to be the visionary. I have great at vision, right? I mean,
nobody would give me that job. So I had to make my own company till I could have that job. So
makes sense. And you finally earned your way up to it, didn't you?
I think I've definitely gotten here and I've earned part of it, but my team is responsible for the success of Sticker Giant. Without them and every employee there, we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah. Are you going to stick with stickers?
Stickers, labels, and we'll be moving into some other product segments that are related to packaging over the next couple of years.
Yeah. That'll be interesting to watch. And any final thoughts about sort of maybe something that's now, because I know you've been influenced by things that you've read and learned over the years. Anything lately that's sort of captured your attention or your curiosity about ways you want to move forward?
I think there's three books that fall on the must-read killer app of three books, okay? So the first one is The Great Game of Business by Bo Burlingham and Jack Stack. And it is the original open book finance book.
Wow.
And there's an updated version with updated case studies. It's fantastic. Hmm. So The Great Game of Business by Bo Burlingham, Jack Sack. The next one is a book called Traction by an author named Gino Wickman. And Traction is going to teach small business owners, whether you are a husband-wife business team or a 50-person company, it's going to very simply give you the structure and teach you how to run your company week to week, what these level 10 meetings look like. All of the pieces of information, it goes into a plan and a vision and how companies need to be organized. And then the third book is specifically for founders. Hmm. And that book is also by Gino Wickman. It's called Rocket Fuel. And the idea behind Rocket Fuel is once you've implemented open book management or some version of it as part of Gino Wickman's Traction program, or it's called EOS, Entrepreneur Operating System. Hmm. True founders need to step back and find an operating officer that is their integrator and does the day-to-day. And so Rocket Fuel, it talks about the power of that and how it can literally just make companies take off like a rocket.
Wow. So last question then. Is it fun to step away from the day-to-day execution? Or do you miss it?
It is fun. It is fun. Yeah. It's really, really nice to build something that runs on its own. When I was a little kid, I was a gearhead, and I worked on anything that burned fuel. Cox, those Cox airplanes, the two-cycle oil, I had a mini bike, I had motorcycles, and nothing was more fun than taking an engine apart and putting it back together. And that first 15 seconds of it running by itself, the blue smoke comes out and it starts up and it's running and there it is, idling along all on its own. And all I gotta do is add fuel and oxygen and it's a self-sustaining thing.
And here you have it now at Sticker Giant.
Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, I'm Dave Taver, host of ProCo 360, and I've been speaking with John Fisher, CEO of Sticker Giant, a Colorado company thriving in the fun, fascinating, and exploding world of custom stickers and labels. John's been manufacturing them in Longmont? Loveland.
Longmont.
Got it.
That's right.
In Longmont, and I appreciate you joining me today on the show. John Fisher, thanks very much.
Thank you for inviting me, Dave.
Glad you're here, and thanks again to the show sponsors, Community Banks of Colorado and MicroStar Key Logistics. For ProCo 360, I'm Dave Taber. This show and past shows are available at ProCo360.com. Go there to subscribe. Again, that's ProCo360.com. Thanks for listening.